I came away from that not only realizing that I had met the embodiment of love, but what it really meant for us to live a life that was centered around the concept of loving God.
Welcome to Mimika TV. I'm your host, Mimika Cooney. Get ready to break through barriers, fuel your faith, pursue your purpose, and market your message so you can impact the marketplace for God. Welcome to Mimika TV. I'm your host, Mimika Cooney. Today, I'm super excited to introduce a guest to you today who has a great background in helping you tell your story, as well as sharing how you can actually leverage media. Now, Bill Dolan is the president and creative director of Spirit Media, a digital video marketing agency specializing in video production, live events and direction, webcasting and marketing for profits and nonprofit organizations. Bill has produced live events from 500 to 250,000 people, directed national and international broadcasts for millions of people, as well as Fortune 500 companies to global ministries. But in 1999, Bill had a near-death experience that challenged his worldview and his approach to communication and marketing. And after years, it led him to write his book, The Seven Disciplines of Relationship Marketing, which is available today. And he is a recognized authority, national speaker, and workshop trainer of his brand, 7DRM Strategy. So welcome, Bill. I'm so excited to have you on the show today.
Thanks, Mimika. It's exciting to be here and to meet not only a fellow author, but someone who comes from the entertainment and television.
Yes, I tell you, we were talking about this before we hit record, was about production and getting things organized. Because, you know, thank goodness this is not live TV. I did that, and that was scary, but it's okay. We just work with it. But I'm so excited to be able to chat to somebody like you who has the same background, and you kind of know this thing, the importance of media, using marketing, storytelling, using books as a way of reaching people and telling your story. So before we get into some actual content, into sharing, you know, giving some strategies to our audience, let's dive into that story I'm really curious to hear about. Tell everyone about that near-death experience and how that was like a life-changing event for you.
Well, yeah, I'll give you a little context. I mean, to start with, as we discussed, I started out in television. In fact, I really grew up in television. I started when I was 20 years old, directing for the ABC affiliate in Portland, Oregon. And it was that world where I learned about advertising. I learned about marketing. I got to work with great, incredibly talented people. And it was that foundation that launched my business, Spirit Media. Now, I'd gotten to a point in around the 90s that I was producing a lot of large-scale entertainment, and I was working with big bands and big artists. But I got to fulfill a dream, and that was to produce my first documentary. And it was one that we funded ourselves, and it was a history documentary. And as you know, you can produce a lot of stuff, but not everybody watches it. It might not get distribution. And I got a call from a company in Nashville that said, we'd like to distribute your product, and we'll write you an advance check for the rights to distribute it. And I said, oh my gosh, this is perfect. This was kind of a dream come true. And in many ways, it was like a fist bump, we've arrived moment type of thing. So as I prepared that morning, I remember rushing out with a friend of mine to hop on that plane to Nashville. It was like a morning like any other morning. Leaving Portland, Oregon around January is beautiful, especially on a clear day, because you see Mount Hood. It's a snow-capped mountain. It's about 11,000 some feet, and it's just beautiful. It's just filled with hope. And I remember taking off and seeing the mountain as we started to head east. But about 20 minutes into the flight, I was feeling weird. Now, I fly all the time, so this was strange, and I tried to pretend that I was okay. But then I realized things were closing in on me. And I thought I was going to get really sick. So I turned to my friend, Tim. I said, Tim, something's not right. And that's the last thing I said. And my arms went limp. My eyes rolled back in my head and my heart stopped. Now, at first, Tim thought it was joking because I've been inclined to joke, but not the dead guy on a plane joke. It would be a new one for me. And he quickly recognized that something was wrong. And Tim didn't know CPR, but he knew about chest compressions. So he began doing chest compressions. That didn't work. And then he drugged me in the aisle and did some more. And as Tim would put it, he was ready to just punch me in the chest. And he was going to break my ribs when I took a breath. Now, for Tim, the whole experience probably lasts 2, 3, maybe 4 minutes at most. But for me, I could have been gone 2 or 3 million years.
Wow.
Because the second my eyes rolled back in my head, I crossed the threshold from this dimension to the dimension of eternity. And in eternity, this is a wild one, but I recognize that in eternity, everything that ever has happened and everything that ever will happen has happened.
Wow. And so it's kind of like understanding that yesterday, today, and tomorrow are all in the same moment, right?
Totally. Totally. The dimension of time is something that is limited to the space that we're in right now. It's not limiting in the dimension of eternity and where the divine dwells. So there's a lot that really unfold, way more than we have time to download. But it is really, is if like a laser beam went right through my head and I got it. I understood things that I had never understood before. The most important thing was that I came face to face with God.
Now, not many people can say that, right? And like actually talk about that now, because just saying that, I'm sure you've probably got some people that give you strange looks, but this is something it's real. And you can say that this is, I can obviously from your book, it's totally changed the way you think about life now, right?
Oh, it completely blew up the paradigm that not only I considered God, but life in general and the reason we're here and what we can do with our lives and how we conduct our lives. That doesn't make it any easier to know. It doesn't. In fact, it's as hard as ever, but the peace and the joy and the excitement and the anticipation you have when you realize the bigger picture. And it isn't just kind of a thing that's out there, but it is. It's real, it's tangible, and it's powerful. It changed my whole paradigm. And I came away from that not only realizing that I had met the embodiment of love, but what it really meant for us to live a life that was centered around the concept of loving God, loving ourselves, and truly loving others, not tolerating, loving. And what does that look like in our life, our spiritual life, our personal life, our family life? And what does it look like in our business life?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite profound when you think about it, because we as human beings tend to put things in boxes if we can understand them in their own little paradigms. But when you're looking at it from a greater perspective, which is why I think it's so important that we have a bigger perspective to everything we do. And especially as believers, we know we are called to a higher purpose. That we know that there is, and you can categorically say there is something that we can look forward to when we get there. So how do we make this work, and how do we make this worthwhile? Like, what did you take away from that experience, other than knowing, of course, it's a confirmation of what we talk about, knowing that God exists? How did that change your life when you came around? I mean, were there any side effects to your health? Like, do you have a recollection of things? What actually happened from there?
Well, a couple things. One, just on the physiological side of it, a lot of people say, oh, you must have had a heart attack. And no, actually what ended up happening is I ended up having an emergency landing, which was checked that off my bucket list. I now had chartered a Boeing 737. And when I was actually made it back in the cardiac wing when they could really test me, I was diagnosed with malignant neurocardiogenic syncope. It just rolls off your lips. It's not real common. In mild forms it is, because malignant means you can die from it. Neuro is brain and cardio is heart, and syncope means out of sync. So what it essentially means is that my brain and my heart get out of sync, and it gets out of sync to a degree that my brain actually tells my heart to stop.
Wow.
Now, there's a mild form of that, like if someone faints. Fainting is a mild form of it, but dying is the extreme form. And so what they ended up doing is putting a pacemaker in my chest, And every day, probably an average of 6 times a day, my pacemaker intervenes because my heart rate drops below what they would perceive as a dangerous level or a cautionary level. And it intervenes and starts pacing my heart. It paces it for a couple minutes and it goes back into a monitor mode, which is really cool when you think about it. Because, you know,
you are Tony Stark.
a little Tony Starkish, you know, without the flight thing, you know, but which I'd really dig if I could. The thing is so cool is that, and this one of the lessons is that I got up that morning. I couldn't tell you what was going to happen. I couldn't tell you that might be the last day of my life, because we can't predict when that will be. But one of the things that changed for me was the recognition that every day could be my last day. And if it could be my last day, how will I live today? How will I express my love for others today? How will I live that out? And so when you think about that, well, there's two things you can take away from it. One, someday, if you live each day as if tomorrow could be your last, someday you're going to be right. Mm. But the other thing is, if you're not right and today is just another day, it's going to be a powerful day. It's going to be a more powerful day than maybe you even had yesterday or the day before. And the opportunity you have to make a profound difference in this world, whether it's what you know, how wise you are, how connected you are. You have never been in a place to make a profound difference in the world than you are today.
I mean, that's profound if you think about it, because a lot of people that I talk to, especially those who feel like they have a story to tell, but they're like, oh, well, who's going to listen to little old me? Like, you know, my story is a dime a dozen, or there's so many other people who could tell the story, but that's not necessarily true, because you can only tell your story in the way that you can tell it. And we know as believers, the power of a testimony is amazing. So you've, from this experience, tell us how you've actually changed your whole, you know, how it's changed your life and your business and like how it affects what you're doing today.
Well, one of the things it did is when you have an experience like that, if you weren't spiritual before or religious or however you want, but you get that way. There's something about life and death and major incidences in your life that really make you reflect, which is exciting. It's one of the things we can be thankful for. And in my case, when I died, it was the, wow, what happened? And I began going back and reading through, very fascinated, reading through the Gospels. It's kind of like after you've seen a show live, you want to go buy the album, or after you've met an artist, you want to buy the book. it was that way for me. It's like, I want to read. I want to understand what I encountered, who I encountered. And I found this incredible tool. It was called Jesus Christ, The Amazing Life, or The Greatest Life. And what it did is it laid all the Gospels out in chronological order. So instead of having a broken down Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and each one kind of had their unique spin and their worldview of what they thought was important, this laid it out. And for the first time in my life, I'm reading this, and what jumped off the page was not just about love, not just about life, not just about salvation and things like that. I saw the greatest marketing plan in the history of mankind. And I start taking notes. Now, it wasn't without having read other things. Like, I want to know about Jesus in archaeology. I want to know about Jesus from the Jewish perspective. I want to know Jesus from the Muslim perspective. I did a 360-degree view of this man. And when I pulled it out, I saw strategies and disciplines. And as I started taking notes on them, I started applying them to our clients. And I started putting them into systems in our company. And in the book, I reference that I took on a major project in Hawaii that actually ended up becoming the whole public relations plan for the Obama Winter White House, that went from a real estate development to a global media phenomenon. And it was by practicing these principles that all of a sudden this thing exploded. Now, I've done that with multiple companies and multiple organizations. I do it with our projects. And when you walk through those seven disciplines, it's not only just smart, you realize it is the framework for the greatest marketing strategy in history. And it doesn't just make for a great marketing plan. It's also the secret for launching a movement.
Interesting, because I love how you said Jesus and marketing, because some people go, oh, my gosh, marketing. For those who have an old school view, think that marketing is slimy and sleazy. And that's not what it is. Marketing is basically a way of marketing your idea, getting people to know about it. Like if Jesus didn't leave his hometown and go and walk around and go to these different towns, how else was he going to be able to share his story, right? So I think if we can frame it like that. I love how you put these principles together. So can you give us some insider information about what these principles are and just give us an overview of what your actual framework is?
Well, sure. And just to pick up on what you said about marketing, what we learn from Jesus and what we try to practice at our agency is that marketing is about telling the truth exceptionally well.
Oh, that's a good one. You'll have to say that again. That's a tweet.
Marketing, great marketing is about telling the truth exceptionally well. And so from that sense, yeah, it's not salesy. It's not pitchy. It's not self-serving. In fact, what we see in Christ's life is that it's about serving. Crazy amount of serving. And I'll also say, and I pointed out in the book, that when I started looking at some of these disciplines, tragically, I did not see this as being the centerpiece of how a lot of churches operate, or even a lot of Christians operate. But coming from the entertainment industry, I did see, wow, that's actually how Lady Gaga operates. That's actually how Apple operates. That's actually kind of how Amazon and Facebook operate. That's how Zappos operates. So some of these principles, you know, you don't have to be a person of faith. You just have to be someone that deeply cares about implementing them to see outcomes out of them. So there's seven of them. And just from the broadest, like the 360-degree view, the first principle, the first discipline is the discipline of mission. The second discipline is a discipline of market. The third discipline is a discipline of message. The fourth is about messengers. The fifth is about methodologies. And I'll point out in my workshops, when most people think of marketing, they jump to methodologies, they jump to tactics. It's the fifth discipline because it follows these four foundational disciplines. And then the sixth is metrics, measuring. And the seventh is like the secret sauce that covers them all, and that's multiplication, the power of multiplication.
I love that. You're totally speaking my language because I'm a total marketing geek. When it talks about people like metrics, who wants to know that? Well, if you don't measure, you won't know, right? And the fact is that how you start with mission, I think, is super important. And this is something I'm a big believer to. And I'm always saying that people who know and follow me, you know, knowing who you are and who you're serving is so important. Because then again, it comes back to that, serving people, marketing and providing a service. Because some people might think, and you create a business or a product or a book or whatever it is that you're creating, that when you come to sales, especially those who are perhaps not used to the idea of marketing, feel like putting marketing can feel like, especially for authors, let's use that example. A lot of like traditionally minded authors who come from that background of, I just want to stay in my writing closet, but I want my book to sell. But nothing sells itself, right? So how can we help our audience who are perhaps don't know marketing and who aren't into marketing like we are? We could talk about metrics and marketing and methodologies all day. And how one thing to mention about that is a lot of people ask me this too, is like, what methods should I use? Like, should I use Facebook or Instagram? That's not really the most important question, right? How can we help them put their idea? They have this big idea for a movement, or they want to launch a church or a ministry. They want to help people. What would you say would be the first thing they should do?
Well, I'd go back to mission again, but just addressing this idea of an author. I'm a first-time author. I've worked in television for many, many years, and so it's been easy to lift up other people and do major productions and do things for millions of people. That's easy. But to do it for yourself, it really challenges your perception of yourself. there's an old term used in the industry about imposter syndrome. And that what we often do is we compare our insides with other people's outsides. And we see the polish and we see the accomplishments of others. And then we look at ourselves and we realize we're broken. We're screwed up. We make mistakes. We recognize the backgrounds and the challenges we have every day and think, oh my gosh, that defines me. And to be able to break out of that and recognize that if you have a business or you're an author or you're a ministry, that one of the lessons I learned was that your life isn't about you. Your life, in fact, every day is a precious gift that you get to give to others. And so when you think about that, about service and not about, oh, it's about me. And, you know, when people say I need to sell books, yep, you probably need to make a few bucks. You need to keep a roof over your head. But if you have been given the gift of content or a product or service, and you really believe it'll make a difference in people's lives, start out with the clarity and the mindset that every human being desires to love and be loved. And your gift to them is an act of love. Now, from that standpoint, the same way that as you get to know somebody, which is at the heart of the seven disciplines, it's not just some sociological kind of exercise where, you know, we're going to check this box and check this box. It means I'm going to genuinely love the people I'm called to serve. And when you do that, it means you know them. And what that does is it frames how they want to be served. So if you look at the journey, for example, in fact, Jesus uses this great model. He called it fishers of men. He looked to the guys on the boat and said, look, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, that's a perfect marketing model. Because you think about it, the first thing you have to ask is, what are you fishing for? You know, that's kind of a market question. You might ask why you're fishing. That's a purposeful, missional question. Then you ask, well, what are they biting on? Well, that's really a messaging and maybe what tools you might use for that. And then you think, what's the journey to get them in the boat? Well, every buyer has a journey from awareness to buy-in. And that journey involves learning and understanding and embracing and ultimately buying in, but actually making the action. So when you think about what tools I need to use to facilitate that, it starts with knowing them, knowing their journey, and then helping that along. And it might mean that you save a ton of money, that you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that. Someone might say, social media works. Someone might say, doing a keynote speaking works. Someone might say, doing a podcast works. Someone would say, I need a brochure. I need a business card. I'm not going to endorse anything other than I'll say the most important, the most powerful. And the single most historically powerful methodology is word of mouth. But there's three kinds of word of mouth. And I talk about this in my book a little bit more in detail, but you think about it, there is what we call wow-wom. It's the word of mouth that compels people to talk about you. Is there something about you that's overwhelming or powerful or meaningful that goes, wow, this is really important. You've got to hear this person. You got to buy this product or whatever it is. Then there's another one called wo-wom. And it's the word of mouth that is kind of negative, like sometimes in the news. In fact, watch the news any day, and there's some train wreck somewhere, whether it's psychological, political, physical, and people go, oh my gosh, did you hear about that? But there's a third kind of wom, and it is the single most devastating red flag in every business, and that's no wom. Because if what you're offering,
if nobody's talking about you, that's even worse than having like the haters putting on saying something about you.
Exactly. I mean, you think about that. If you're, and I say this lovingly, if your business, what you're offering, what you're writing about is so insignificant that there's no one speaking on its behalf, that's a red flag. And it's really a product issue. It makes you go back and say, okay, what do I have here? Avoid the imposter syndrome. But what do I have here that maybe I'm just serving myself with my product, not serving them? How can I serve you better? How can I love you better? How can I reach out to you better? But it really does. It starts from here. And then when you live it, watch things happen.
So it really is just creating that relationship of love and coming from a place of service where you know it's not necessarily about your personal gain, but about what you can actually give. And it's amazing how it's the whole like concept of reciprocity. When you start giving things to people, things start coming your way. So I think that's a great way of framing what marketing really is. It's about putting, you know, sharing what value you have and understanding the value you have is valuable. There is somebody, it might not be for everybody. And like you said, being polarizing is actually a good thing. You want the lovers and the haters. You don't want to be in the middle because then it's just blah and boring. Who wants to be vanilla, right?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And the thing is as you recognize your brand personality and your brand offering, guess what? It's like, when I was in high school, my mom taught me to bake cookies. And I recognized that I thought I made the best cookies in the world. But guess what? Not everybody liked my cookies. But there's some people that loved my cookies, some people that raved about my cookies, others that thought they were okay, and others said, I don't want them. You know, that's like ideas and products. We aren't all things to all people, but every person has a unique gift, a unique wiring that will speak into the lives of others. And so it's not a popularity contest. It's really a purposeful contest to say, am I living my purpose? Am I making a difference? Am I using my mess to form a message that can help change lives?
I think that's important as well, is to allow, it's almost like give yourself permission to start. Because I think a lot of us, especially our listeners, and I get these, you know, comments in my Facebook group and people who email me and talk to me and say, well, I don't know if I'm ready and I don't know if it's worthwhile. But just like you said, doesn't matter what flavor of cookie is your favorite. Like I love, you know, pistachio and chocolate chip. It might not be somebody else's flavor, but guaranteed there's somebody else who needs to eat that cookie. Like seriously. So it's up to us to bake it. We've got all the ingredients. Now we just need to put it together. So what is your favorite flavor? I have to ask.
Well, classically, it was chocolate chip, and then it went to oatmeal chocolate chip. But I will just say, I have two daughters who are gluten-free. So I began trying to experiment with that. And I came up with this incredible, I called a brownie chip made with almond flour. And then I also have another one called, it's a molasses-based, and I called a gingermo, because it's ginger molasses and it's gluten-free. So,
I have the recipes because I have to eat gluten-free because I have celiac. So yeah, that's cookies.
After this, I'll send you a jar.
Oh, that would be awesome. I'll tell you. Well, as I said, we've always got something in common with someone, and it's amazing. That's what I love about creating a story and be able to share our story, that there's something that resonates in your story that will inspire and, you know, encourage someone to give them, you know, the courage to step up and do what they need to do. So that is really awesome. So if you had to sort of wrap it up and say, out of everything you've learned through this story, if you had to give my audience one takeaway tip, what would you tell them that they need to do today?
Probably the most important is to recognize that if you woke up this morning and you took a breath today, what I learned from my experience is that it was a gift. We don't earn our next breath, and I don't feel like we even deserve our next breath. It is a gift from God. And it's not just a gift from a God that likes you. It's not just a gift from God that loves you. What I experienced is that God is madly in love with you. And I mean madly in love. He cares about every hope. He cares about every dream. He's felt every fear. He's felt every doubt. And he's been with you every single step of the way. And the fact that you're given a breath today is not just a statement of, yes, I love you, and I'm madly in love with you, but he's got a purpose for you. There's a reason you're here. There are lives you're supposed to touch. There are places you're supposed to do, and an impact that you're supposed to make. And so no matter what you've experienced up to this point, whether it's been great accomplishments or great failures, every single one of them has been laying the brick for a launch pad And since you have this precious gift of life, use that launch pad, embrace that launch pad, because you have never been smarter. You've never been brighter. You've never had more context and an opportunity to change the world than today. So take that gift and give it to others.
That's amazing. And it's literally like your life is connect the dots drawing. And if we kind of looks at, like you said, failures, like I don't like to call them failures because I do figure skating is one of my challenges. And I know my coach is like, if you haven't fallen down today, you need to go ahead and do it right now because you're only going to learn by getting back up. And that it doesn't matter what you did yesterday, you're building on it today. So connect the dots and make a pretty drawing, which I think is going to be a masterpiece when we look back. Well, I'm going to say to everybody, I'm so excited to be able to share this message. I know everyone's like, oh, there she goes again. I know, I'm a sop. I love the inspirational messages. But I, even if you're not hearing this, hear it from Bill and know that you what you have to say definitely does matter. So, Bill, would you be willing to pray for our audience today? Just a bit of an encouragement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, Holy Father, I pray blessing upon every person listening to this this media or watching this media, whatever form they're receiving it. Lord, I pray it speaks life to them. I pray it speaks hope to them and encouragement to them. And I pray above all things that they would find peace in knowing you, and in knowing you would know themselves so that they can be the force that they're called to be. I lift them to you, and I lift the purposes to you, and I lift the millions of lives that will be impacted. And I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for that. I always love to end our interviews with the prayer because I know when I'm listening, whether I'm in the carpool line or if I'm on the dishes or if you're going for a jog, that it's nice to be able to hear that there's others who are like-minded, who are thinking and lifting you up in prayer and giving you that encouragement to be able to step out and do what you know that God is calling you to do. So tell our audience, how can they best get in contact with you and find you online?
Well, right now, we have two websites. Our creative agency is easy. It's spiritmedia.com. And that's where we do webcasts and we do a lot of videos and we do a lot of events. But now with the launch of the book, we actually have a dedicated website called 7DRM.com. Stands for the 7 Disciplines of Relationship Marketing.com. There's a little introductory video so you can hear my story again. And there's a link to where you'll be able to get a Kindle, the book, the audiobook, and very soon a video series where people can do a self-study and learn how to apply the 7 disciplines, whether they're a solopreneur or working on a full-blown marketing team. We'll make the resources available, and we really want people to be able to make a difference and apply this.
Definitely. Well, we'll have these links in the show notes. So whichever platform you are watching or listening on, make sure to click on the link to the show notes. We'll have those links to Bill's website so you can connect as well as social media. Make sure you said you saw or heard him on Mamika TV. We always love to connect our guests with our audience, with our guests, because we want to be able to know that we appreciate what they have to share. So if you enjoyed what we had to say today, make sure to share it with your friends. Click those magic buttons that you have on whichever media or social media platform you're on and make sure to share it and let everybody know. And if you have any comments or aha moments or any prayer requests, make sure to add that to the comments as well. I'll make sure to read and listen to every single voice message and every single message that comes through our podcast. And if you want more free resources that I only share with my newsletter community, go to mamikakuni.com. And right now I'm giving away a resource bundle accompanying my newly published book, How to Build Your Author Platform with a Purpose. So we talked about purpose and we talked about how to use marketing to get your message out there. Well, I have some great resources for you. So go to mamikakuni.com. But before we wrap up today, is there anything else that you want to leave, any parting words you'd love to leave our audience with?
Just thank you, Mamika. I think what you are doing and creating a platform for people to share what their callings, wherever they are, I'm so excited about the work that you're doing and excited that we're connected on LinkedIn. So anybody in the audience wants to connect to us on LinkedIn, direct message. I mean, I'm here to help. I'm so excited about helping people because that last discipline, multiplication, this is what you're doing. And when you write, whether you're a book author or you're just publishing on social media or anyway, you have the power of multiplication. And that is a crazy, crazy gift to have. And I encourage everybody to exercise it to every degree they can.
Definitely. Well, I'm going to say thanks again for spending your wonderful time. And thanks for those kind words. I appreciate it. Oh, you know, putting together a podcast and, like, you know, media production is a lot of work, but I have a really firm idea of purpose-driven marketing, purpose-driven effort, that I know that somebody sometime is going to hear this and going to be encouraged to really take those steps to walk out their purpose that God is calling them to. So I'm going to say thank you again for being part of our journey. And thanks to everyone listening, and we'll be in touch soon. Take care.
If you want more free resources that we only share with our newsletter community, go to bimikakuni.com and sign up today. We have great resources like ebooks, inspirational screensavers, printables, and exclusive access to our community.